The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And we are back at the top of the hour, 8 a.m. Central Time, May 4th, 2023. And of course, for those of you who don't know about White Harvest Seeds, I go back to this article that we are providing you, The Beginner's Garden. Yeah, The Beginner's Garden. Jill McSheehy. And she even mentions in her 16-page article, helping beginners grow their own food in raised beds, containers, or in-ground gardens. We're making that available to those of you who are on the newsletter. We call it the email blast that you get in your box, and you can actually access that article and read it for yourself. We go one step further because we have a free webinar out there for those of you who want to know how to grow food in a grid-down situation. Even if you have no experience, you're older, out of shape.
I don't like bending over.
Yeah, why is that? You need to wear a belt, all right? I know what you're thinking.
Yeah, the last time I saw Cooter, he went over there and he bent over and I saw his butt crack.
Said, yeah, your belt's not tight enough or you've been drinking too much Butt Light. PowerHourFood.com is the website you go to and you get a free webinar. It's a Saturday webinar. Been on it. Man, you learn a lot. Marjorie Wildcraft teaches a lot of good stuff if you're not going to read Jen's article here on where to buy seeds, but she mentions White Harvest Seed Company specifically. They have non-GMO heirloom seeds. We have them at the Power Mall, and they're 10% off. While they last, we have very few of these seed packets left, the kits. Home cooking herb seed kit, 12-packet green seed kit, 15-packet basic starter seed kit, and 40-packet seed kit. You get 10% off at the Power Mall. And we have Mike Knox with us on the show now that we've embellished everything that Mike does by getting all these endorsements lined up. I had to go looking for this stuff, Mike. Welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be here, Daniel. Yeah, I appreciate that. Boy, you're on fire this morning.
And you have a lot of people going to bat for you online. I can't believe the number of people endorsing White Harvest Seeds.
Well, we've worked hard at it, and God's blessed it, and we worked hard at giving a product that people are happy with. Yeah, and I've met Jill. She's a great lady, and it's a great article. But, yeah, it's been a good years for us, and we're appreciative of all the words, the kind words that we get from folks.
It is amazing. And so this is one of the reasons why, you know, we actually, folks, for those of you who think that we just carry anybody's any old seeds, no. We vet and we talk to people. Mike, you're in Missouri, so, you know, the show me state. You've shown us a lot. And I've got everything. I did not get the 12-packet green seed kit. I got the herb seed, the basic starter, and the 40-packet is what I got. So a lot of people, they want to go big. And there's nothing wrong with going big out of the gate, is it?
Well, I always tell folks, go with what you can handle. If you go too big, you'll get discouraged because the weeds and putting in all the work that has to go into it will sometimes overwhelm people. So start in an area where you know that you can handle, and then you'll be successful, and then you'll be excited.
Yep. Well, see, the thing is I think I overplanted in my raised bed gardens. I think I got everything growing up next to each other and going to start choking each other off. So, there's that 12-inch between rows rule, and I think I just violated the hell out of that. So, anyway, I may have to start transplanting stuff or just weeding out some of the stuff that looks like it's going. But I'm telling you what, I've had my raised beds going now for over 3 weeks, and, I mean, my beans are a foot tall. I mean, it's just amazing what these seeds do. And these are non-GMO. And we had a GMO expert on yesterday talking about this. And when you look at non-GMO, they're different from hybrid.
Correct. That's correct.
See, the thing is hybrid is a GMO, isn't it?
Well, it can be. It can be. But it all comes back to the fact that if you grow hybrids, they will not produce true to type, so that if you're seed saving and want to be self-sufficient in that area, that those will not work, and those will not produce the seeds that you want to grow the following year. So, yeah, there is a big difference between heirloom open pollinated seeds and the GMOs and the hybrids.
Yep, okay. And so the thing is about open pollinated, what's the difference between open and closed? I mean, is there such a thing, or is this what hybrid seeds are? Is they're not open pollinated, and that's why you can't use them over and over again like you can with heirloom seeds?
Well, the open pollinated is pretty simple. They're the ones that the good Lord produced and created that will allow, they will pollinate each other. And, you know, in the species and all that type of thing. So, I mean, if you have two zucchinis next to each other, you're going to cross if they're open pollinated, and they're going to cross and you'll get a different zucchini. So whereas a hybrid will tend to just be, it will produce that year, but if you're saving seeds, it will not somehow genetically, and I know I'm not a biologist, so I don't understand all that necessarily, but somehow they will not produce true to type seeds, and when you plant them the following year, the plants themselves will be sterile. They may grow something, but they're not going to be what you grew the previous year, and it probably won't even produce a fruit. So that's what happens with that. But the open pollinators continue to recycle and reproduce after their own kind, and that's what it says in the Bible, of course.
Yeah. Now, the thing about heirloom seeds, and this is the thing I want to get into a little bit, because people, when they get heirloom seeds, they go, okay, what do I do with these things after I harvest my first batch and I want to use the seeds over again? What do you recommend as far as regenerating these heirloom seeds to use again for next year? What are you doing?
Well, it all comes back to how you grow them. Of course, you want to grow them in a good soil environment and take care of them, water them, produce a nice stock item, you know, a fruit item, and you want to pick the best items off that produce item, and then you're going to save them. You're going to dry them out. You're going to store them in an area where the temperatures are correct. Don't freeze them, but keep them stored properly for the years to come. Keep them out of the bugs and the rodents and stuff like that, and then just replant them the following year. You know, if it depends on if they're tomatoes and peppers, you want to start early. But if they're things like squash and watermelons, you just take the seed and it's ready to go the following year. But you want to always wait for a ripe crop, you know, and just be careful with them. I mean, in the sense of save them and put them in a spot that they're going to be saved and not be exposed to the elements. You know, you want to keep them cool, you want to keep them dry, and you want to keep them dark. And then you'll be ready to go for years and years as long as you keep doing it year after year.
Well, the thing is, too, is here's my objective is you want to do the cucumbers, for example. If they're heirloom cucumbers, you're going to cut the cucumbers up. The cucumbers have seeds in them, and you're going to basically take a few of these cucumbers that are the good looking cucumbers, and you're going to cut. Those are the ones you're going to use for your test subjects for next year, and you're basically going to cut everything off except for the seeds, and you're going to take the seeds out, extract them from the mush that's inside of them, right? The little the base that holds the seeds in place. And you're actually, what I do is I put them in a strainer and I run water through them and I rinse them off real good. And I lay all the seeds out and spread them all out on a paper towel and just let them sit there for a couple of days and dry out. And then you can take those and put them in a jar, do something like that, and seal them up and put them in a dark, cool place. That right?
That's correct. That's correct. Cucumbers and tomatoes are kind of different. You want to take the seeds and with the jelly coat, which is what I call it, still on them, put them in a jar or a bucket or water or whatever, and let them soak for 3 days and stir them up. And what that's doing, it's fermenting off the seed, the germ inhibitor coat that's naturally on those products. And then you're going to dry them out and do like what you said. Tomatoes and cucumbers are kind of the only ones you have to do that on. You know, squash, you just take the and watermelon and cantaloupe. When they're ready to eat, the seeds are ready. So you just want to wash them off and dry them like the procedure you said. But tomatoes and cucumbers are different. They have that germination inhibitor coat that's natural, and it has to be fermented off. And then the seeds that float, you throw away. Anything that comes to the top after those 3 days, you throw away. Only you keep the ones that sink, and then your germination rates will be higher.
Interesting. Yeah, see, these are things that I don't know that I'm learning that I'm sure a lot of you out there sitting there scratching your head going, I didn't know that. Now, there's probably a bunch of you out there that have a lot of experience with heirloom seeds, but there's a lot of us out there that want to have a green thumb, and we can't do that because we don't have knowledge. And see, my people are destroyed by net lack of knowledge. It says that right there in Hosea 4:6. Now, I know I'm just pulling that statement out. You know, a lot of people use that statement just because they're trying to make a point, even though they do take it out of context. You know, those of you who know your word know that's exactly what they've done. So the whole idea, though, is knowledge is power, and that's our motto here, and that's one of the reasons we have Mike Knox on the show. So the thing is that you're supposed to be able to take heirloom seeds and use them over and over and over again, year after year after year, to survive, right?
That's correct. That's correct. And plus, if you're growing them on your property, that seed eventually gets used to that environment, as a way to say they adapt better, and those seeds become stronger, actually, and accustomed to your environment, and they'll do a lot better than if you buy a seed, per se, that's from a company that's over in Japan or whatever. And in that environment, it could be the same product, but it's going to grow better in your environment because it's been adjusted year after year after year as you've grown it.
Right. Well, the thing is because of the fact that every single thing I have, I mean, my Roma tomatoes and my beefsteak tomatoes, I mean, those plants right now, and I'm holding my fingers up, are probably about 6 inches tall right now. And they're bushing up real nice. I just took some, I grind eggshells in a coffee grinder, and I just took some of that and sprinkled it around the tomatoes and watered them in. Did the same thing with my pepper plants. I've got a bunch of jalapenos and bell, you know, the regular green peppers that you normally see in the store growing in their own raised bed. The thing is that, you know, I'm seeing all of this stuff. A lot of people are having first-time experiences doing this thing. Marjorie Wildcraft says that you can have a very successful garden in the size of an area, 3 parking spaces in width and length. That is. Okay. I'm just thinking, I know there's some people out there, and when I did my first garden in Kansas a long time ago, we had real fertile soil up there. And I mean, literally, when you ran a rototiller and that stuff, I mean, it just churned up like nobody's business. You didn't have to do a lot of fertilizing. We had chicken poop, but I didn't even think that that was a necessity at the time because of the soil. But the thing is, now down where I'm at now in Texas, I'm actually taking and putting the chicken poop in the straw as the base, because I understand that some of these plants require a lot more nitrogen than others. Is that true?
That's correct. Yep, that's correct. Every plant has this kind of its own smorgasbord, if you want to call it that, that they need. And good, just go online. Marjorie has a lot of, I've seen her and talked to her too. And, you know, it's one of those things that every plant needs its own minerals, its own nutrients, and you have to learn those things. And it's something that gardeners, as they learn those things, will have more success. The produce will thrive. It'll produce more for you. So, yeah, definitely plants do have their special needs.
Okay. Sherry in Kansas, you're on the phone with Mike Knox. Go ahead.
Good morning. Mike, good morning. There's a lot of different vegetables that fall into the Kerbet family. Do I need to plant, like, I want to grow, I've got some cucumbers started and some zucchini started. Do I need to separate those? Are those going to cross-pollinate?
No, that's a great question. Yeah. The squash plants are made up of 4 different groups, Moschetta, Maxima, Mixta, and there's another one. I can't remember off the top of my head. And you have to learn those genetic species families, and you cannot, you can plant one of each of those families in your garden and they will not cross. Cucumbers, all you have to worry about is a cucumber if you have more than one type of cucumber. Cucumbers will cross. You'll get a cucumber, but it won't be exactly like maybe what you wanted to have the following year. So, yeah, cucumbers, you'd want to just grow one variety, and I think the separation rate of is like a quarter mile, half a mile from anybody else. So if you have another gardener within a half mile of you, there's a good possibility you'll cross with his because the insects are going to do the pollinating. But squash, you can have one of each of the families. Not zucchinis are a peepo. That's the other one. So if you have two peepos, they will cross and your seeds will be tainted for the following year. But if you have a peepo and a mixta and a moschetta, which is a pumpkin and a butternut and those type of things, then they will be fine. So I hope that answers your question, but that's a great question that research and learn those botanical names.
So you're saying that winter squash will not cross-pollinate with summer squash?
That is correct. Butternut is a moschetta, is the type of genus it is, and zucchinis are peepos, which is a summer squash. So yeah, you can grow those in your garden right next to each other, and you won't have a problem. But if you grow two types of zucchinis and two types of butternuts or moschettas or a pumpkin, then you're going to have a problem with cross pollination.
One more question. I've got an old copy of the Encyclopedia of Organic Gardening put out by the Rodale publishers. And they talk about these fertilizers that you can't really find around here, like green sand. And now I'm using wood ashes because I burn wood, but there's, granite dust and different things that, to stay organic.
Right.
What do you guys use there?
We try to use an all-natural fertilizers. We have a company called Garden for Life. They have a fertilizer that's a good mix to put in with your things. We also use a fertilizer is called Mineral Boost, which is a trace mineral batch of minerals. So they're out there. You probably have to do some research. I know a company in Versailles, they have a lot of these things. But Amazon has Asomite and green sand. You can go online and find these things. And, shipping's going to be kind of expensive for you, but because they're heavy.
I'm trying to find Asomite, but I refuse to do business with Amazon, so.
I understand. Yeah, so you'll probably just check with your local garden centers, and they will probably have some resources for you, and if you, they might be able to get it in for you. But, yeah, definitely those other things, the Asomite, the green sand, all those things, you definitely want trace minerals in your soil because those are the things that will benefit the plant even more than the big three, the NPKs.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Appreciate your call, Sherry. Thank you so much. When we're talking about fertilizers, this is the thing. I got the eggshells. I'm grinding them up. Darlene actually called the show. She's in Indiana, and she's doing farming. I mean, she's my down-home girl that's got all this together. I mean, she's been doing this forever and a day, and we appreciate it every time she calls up and has suggestions. But the thing is, I'm learning from a lot from our listeners when it comes to size-wise, where you plant, how you plant. I've got two raised bed gardens, and I got cucumbers. I got a pickling cucumber across from a regular salad cucumber, and they're in two different beds, and I didn't plant as many of the pickling cucumbers as I did the salad cucumbers because we like eating those, take them and slice them up and put them in dill sauce.
Sure.
And but the thing is that, inside of a greenhouse, what are the chances of cross-pollination there? Kind of reduced the
water. Possibly. I mean, the problem is, depending on if you have insects getting in there, since they're insect pollinated, you may not get any pollination if there's no insects flying around in there. But as long as you have insects flying around in there, they will pollinate the blooms, but they'll be flying through they're not discriminatory. They will go to whatever they see a flower and buzz around. So, you're going to have a cross. Now, if you save the seeds from that, you're going to have possibly issues next year. This year, you won't have a problem. They'll produce their pickling. They'll produce their. They'll produce fine this year. It'll just be if only if you save the seed from that. There's a good possibility that the cross pollination has happened.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. So, folks, there's let it be a warning to you. You plant one kind. See, because everybody gets these assortments of things, and they go, oh, I think I'm going to plant some of this and some of this, and little do they know. That's one of the reasons why we have you on the show, Mike. The thing is,
well, I appreciate
too,
that.
Yeah. No, I mean, and the thing is, too, I mean, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and that's one reason those kits that you're, of ours that you're selling, you know, we only put one type of cucumber in there. We only put one type of possibly tomato, you know, depending on the variety. You know, and that's why it gives these people the opportunity to save their seeds from these kits that you're selling. And, you know, it's not we just throw what's in there that's, you know, convenient. We throw in the seeds that will produce, we feel are easy to grow, and they'll produce heavy for you. And you'll have a great crop. The germination rates should be high for you. So that's one thing about these kits. They're not just slapped together and put out there in a bag. There's some thought that goes behind them. So we want you, your folks, to be successful in their gardening experience.
Interesting. Now that brings up the next question about tomatoes. Is that danger of cross-pollination the same if I put my Romas and beefsteaks side by side?
Well, so, tomatoes and peppers and eggplants, those are all what they call self-pollinators. When their blooms are opening up, that's when the pollination process is going on. So they kind of self-pollinate themselves. They're not reliant on a bug to do their business. So that's a plus. But, you know, you do see flies and bees and stuff hitting those blooms. So there is a slight possibility in my theory that a bug can cross-pollinate a Roma and a beefsteak, per se. But in the scientific world, they say that it can only be done if you are doing some hand pollination type things. So it's very rare. But there's a possibility. So what I tell folks is if you see before your blooms start happening, bag them. Put something around it, kind of like a remake, kind of like when you go to a wedding, they put the rice in. You put that over that bloom before it opens up. Let it open and tie it off. Let it open up, and then it'll curl back down, and it'll form a little tomato. And when that happens, you can take off that remake or that screen. And that mark that flower, mark that bulb and the fruit that's happened with a string or a piece of yarn, and then you'll know later on that's the tomato that, hey, I want to save for seed. And that will prevent any possibility of a cross-pollination. I also tell folks to do more than one, because guess what happens when it hails or the tomato worm finds that one? He eats the one that you're saving. So
of course,
always do more than
Murphy's Law.
Exactly. So always do more than one, and that's how you save seeds on those self-pollinators to be safe. But since they're a self-pollinator, generally you can get away with multiple plants within a close proximity.
Right. Well, close proximity is what I did, and I think I made a big mistake because I got stuff growing within inches of each other, and I think I overdid it.
Well, that's some people do that on purpose. They do for companion planting. You know, you can plant certain things next to each other for bug resistance and bug protection, disease and that type of stuff. So it's possible, depending on what you planted next to each other, you know, you might have a benefit there. So that's just called companion planting.
Well, the thing is, if you're doing it correctly and you're companion planting, that means that everything that's in there is growing very well together, and they're all growing up and out, and they're blooming and they're bushing, and that's how you know they're all companion. But if you've got like one row or two rows of stuff in there, like my beets are doing right now, it's like they're hardly growing at all because everything else seems to be taking over. So, and I really like beets. And so, you know, I'm really trying, I'm thinking I might have to transplant some of those things into buckets and do container gardening with them. So I'm hoping they've been in the ground 3 weeks, and I'm hoping I don't shock them. Do you have any standard rules about shocking your plants and what you have to do if you're forced to transplant?
When you're starting things inside, like tomatoes or your peppers and those type of things, cabbage, I always say plant them in your pots inside in a bigger pot. You know, we say 3 inches wide, 3 inches deep. So you don't have to transplant it from a little quarter-sized thing and been transplanted all the way up until you go in the garden. Because every time you transplant, you're taking the chance of damaging the root, the tap
root. Well, see, and I got the peat cups is what I'm using, those 3-inch wide, 3-inch deep peat cups. And that's what I've been planting all my starters in.
Right, that'll be better. And then when you transplant, just transplant them out to the garden and make sure that they're under the ground. Make sure that none of the peat pot is sitting above ground, because then it'll wick the moisture away from the roots. So make sure you got, and that will dry out your roots area. So, yeah, try to do as little transplanting as possible from the early stages, because the tap roots are very sensitive. So, but yeah, it can be done. It can be done, but you have to be very, very careful.
And then if you don't put them in the peat pot, then you have to make sure you get enough of the roots so you don't shock the thing if you try to transplant it once it's already started growing and started. See, I'm just afraid that the beets are just they're starting to like fall over and not, you know, they're not stable like I want them to. Like I'm seeing them like they're mm-hmm. sprouting and they're like 3 inches tall. And all of a sudden they start wilting away and I'm just thinking I'm going to lose them. So, I may just take a chance.
Are they still inside or are they outside in your bed?
No, they're in the raised bed in the greenhouse.
Yeah, that could be a lot of things. It could be not getting enough water. They could be, if you're down in Texas, so you probably haven't had the cold weather that we've had here. So, yeah, it could be a bunch of different things there on that. They're not showing any yellow leaves or anything, are they?
Not yet. I'm seeing the purple stems. That's what I'm seeing at this point.
Well, they may be okay. I just keep an eye on them. I wouldn't worry about transplanting. If they're green and they're purple stems, you're probably in okay shape. You just need to make sure you give them some water.
Oh, they get
Then maybe it's an overwatering thing too. So, I mean, there's lots of different factors that can happen in that.
So, yeah, I just water the surface of the soil every day. That's what I do. I don't water so it gets deep into the root because I know that'll mess them up.
Right. You might hit them with a little bit of fish emulsion spray. It's just a very basic fertilizer, just to give them a little bit of that, boost. But yeah, it sounds like you're doing okay. I just leave them go and see what happens.
It's always hook or bite trick. You take your chance, But see, the thing is this is why we have these classes, folks. This is why Marjorie Wildcraft has her gardening classes. And see, when you enroll at PowerHourFood.com. You get the benefit of being in a class where you can ask questions, just like what we're doing here with Mike Knox. And Mike, we appreciate that. Just want to let you know that we've got the White Harvest non-GMO heirloom seeds at the Power Mall, 10% off this week. We want to liquidate and get rid of those kits. So, anybody that's contemplating that wants to still plant, we have the White Harvest non-GMO heirloom seeds available at the Power Mall while supplies last. They're 10% off. And we want you to take advantage of that and buy us out of stock. Do it today. Get online, order the kits. We got the home cook and herb seed kit, the 12-packet green seed kit, the 15-packet basic starter seed kit, and the giant 40-packet seed kit. 10% off at the Power Mall. Do it. We're going to be, we're actually open right now, so you can call. Buy us out of stock because we're not going to be reordering until next season. So just want to make sure if you're intending on planting a garden, do not sit on your thumb. Turn it green. Mike Knox, we thank you so much for joining us. We're going to have you back again as the season progresses. And we appreciate you. God bless you for all the work you're doing and helping people out.
Thank you.
All right. We are at the bottom of the hour break. When we come back, I am going to be doing a pre-recorded interview with Clay Clark on the upcoming Reawaken America tour, in addition to some other news and information you probably need to know. In the meantime, stay safe, and we will join you tomorrow.
iComplex CS is a comprehensive natural medicine formula to nourish and heal eye tissue formulated by a board-certified MD ophthalmologist, Dr. Robert Abel. Why you need vitamins for your eyesight? There is a direct and proven physiological connection between the nutrients we put into our body and the quality of our eyesight. Some vitamins for eyesight can be absorbed from the food we eat, but other vital nutrients cannot, especially if you're not eating a daily, nutritionally balanced diet. Additional supplements are essential for optimal eye health as well as your overall physical health. With 23 vitamins and nutrients such as N-acetylcysteine, which is important for removing toxic substances from the liver. This, the most complete clinical strength eye and total body multivitamin available in one supplement. Call the Power Mall at 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
It's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
It's 32 minutes after the hour. Dave Krieger with you here. Welcome back to our final segment here of the Power Hour. And of course, we have people out there that have been paying very close attention to what Clay Clark's Reawaken America tour is doing. And we also know that there's a letter out there I got to read. And this is the thing. There's one of our listeners who had to move in with his mom in South Florida, Jupiter. She's pretty much lost or on her last legs, can no longer live alone, almost 83 with dementia, losing vision, risk for falling. Not eating or taking her pills on her own. She's failing. She doesn't know how much time she has left. She absolutely loves President Trump. And when they stole the 2020 election, this listener really believes that it took a lot of the life out of her, out of his mom. And it would mean the world to her if they were able to get tickets to the Miami stop, even if President Trump doesn't show. And I could get there, believe you me. I knew if we had tickets, she would absolutely rise to the occasion. And, of course, she asked our producer this vis-a-vis email, and our producer and JT and all the rest of you came through and got them four tickets to go to the Reawaken America Tour. Clay Clark, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for what you guys did to help this guy out.
Oh, you know what? We're here to try to save America, and that includes saving Americans. So I was an honor to do it, and I appreciate you guys making that connection.
Well, we appreciate you. God bless you, sir, for all the work you're doing. And I know that you believe God and you love what's going on with everything having to do with this Reawaken America tour. I had a guest on, Dr. or Professor Michael Rechtenwald, PhD, and he wrote this book on saving America, talking all about the WEF and everything else that's happening, what they're trying to do. The latest baloney out of Klaus Schwab is he thinks we need to kill all the animals, including our pets, because of the carbon footprint they're leaving, and we don't need it. And I'm like, man, I know you've got some information on that and everything else the WEF is doing as the fight continues. First off, tell us about what's happening with the upcoming Doral. We're just about sold out of tickets out that, if we're not already, right?
Yeah, you know, right now, as of this very second, we have four tickets remaining for the Reawaken America tour. Trump Doral, that's in Miami, Florida. If you go to time2freeamerica.com, May 12th and 13th, Cash Patel, General Flynn, Eric Trump, Peter Navarro, Dr. Mikovits, Sean Foyt, Jim Brewer, the whole team will be there. 70-plus speakers, May 12th and 13th, Trump Doral. Doors open up at 6. We go till 8 p.m. each night, over 70 speakers. You can name your price. Four general admission tickets are available right now. Four general admission tickets and three VIP tickets are remaining as of right now.
Wow, that is amazing. And then you have an upcoming August event in Las Vegas.
Yes.
You got the dates on that.
Yeah, we do. We're going to Las Vegas, Nevada in August because I think we wanted to visit the surface of the sun. So it's August 25th and 26th. Most people are staying at Trump International Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I can tell you right now, I've talked to the hotel staff there at the Trump International Las Vegas, and they've told me they've never had more people ever book a hotel this far in advance for one particular event. They've never seen it happen. So they're right now booking out hotel rooms very quickly. That's August 25th and 26th. Again, to learn more, just go to time2freeamerica.com to request those tickets.
And we have a location as to where the actual event's going to be held?
Yes, it's going to be at a place called Craig Ranch Amphitheater. So we're kicking off after 5 p.m. each day, and then we're going until midnight. Vegas never sleeps, so we're not going to sleep either. We'll be out there till past midnight each night.
Wow, that is amazing. So now I've seen these blips come through from Reawaken America Tour and about new information that you have that you've been carefully discerning and putting out to the public to keep everybody on alert as to what is going on. I know we have another balloon floating over Hawaii. We have no idea what it is. They're leaving it alone, which surprises me. But I know that Mr. Harari, I like to rhyme, that rhymes with curare, which is poison that you shoot out of a blowgun, wow, that you put in the end of a dart. So, I mean, this guy is poison to the mind, especially the way he speaks. I mean, this guy is educated, and he's just working for the other side. But I know you've got some new information on him.
Yeah, what's happening right now is Yuval Noah Harari is no longer holding back at all his agenda and what he's planning on doing. And I want people to really, really take notes on this and really focus into what you're going to hear here in just a second. Yuval Noah Harari, Elon Musk, Xi, and Klaus Schwab are openly stating that they now want to connect your brain to AI. They want to connect your brain to AI, folks. Listen to this.
The long-term aspiration for Neuralink would be to achieve a symbiosis with artificial intelligence and to achieve a sort of democratization of intelligence such that it is not monopolistically held in a purely digital form by governments and large corporations.
Basically, an effort for man to merge with machine in,
yes,
a healthy way.
Yes.
To beat machines, you basically have to merge with machines.
Precisely, yes.
If you have a good two-way communication system directly between brains and computers, it also means you can connect several brains together to create an inter-brain net. Because it's the same system, the same communication system. And nobody has any idea what this means for things like identity. Who am I when I can access directly the brain of another person?
U.S. intelligence shows China is using advanced technologies like gene editing and brain control weapons to advance its military and to crush dissent.
I just would like to highlight what you said about the European Chips Act, because it's an important step to create the physical brain for digitalization and to have it located to a certain extent in Europe. I also, your reference to the Club of Rome reports, the forum at that time, launched actually the Club of Rome report.
I would presume it would be consensual, because you definitely don't want just people, you know, sending stuff into your brain without your consent.
We could effectively merge with artificial intelligence by improving the speed of interaction between our cortex and our tertiary layer.
But you say, like, what's the limitation? What is it that inhibits human-machine symbiosis? It's the data rate.
They're all openly encouraging and pushing the idea of connecting your brain to artificial intelligence.
This is crazy, Clay. You know, as a matter of fact, the news that we're just getting in, renowned AI pioneer Jeffrey Hinton has quit his job at Google to voice his concern about the risk associated with generative AI, the technology behind the popular chatbots like ChatGPT, Google Bard. In a recent interview, Dr. Hinton expressed regret over its life's work in developing the AI systems used by significant tech companies. But he says, you know, I console myself with a normal excuse. Well, if I hadn't done it, somebody else would have. Industry leaders believe that generative AI could result in important advances in a variety of industries, including drug research, education. But there's also a growing concern about the risk this technology might present and how bad actors could use it for bad things. And I know this is where you were going with the clips you just played.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole goal. At the end of the day, the goal is to make it where you and I cannot buy or sell without putting this technology under our skin. That is the goal. Okay, that's the goal. It sounds heavy. It sounds like I'm making it up. It would be more convenient if it was hyperbole. But now you're starting to see the mainstream media begin to promote the idea of putting a chip under your skin. Listen to this, folks.
Trending today at 6:23, a British company has...
This is Fox Carolina.
An idea that would let you ditch your wallet or purse and still be able to pay for things. Hmm. But as you can imagine, not everyone's on board with this one. And here's why. They're selling microchips to implant under your skin. The company Walletmore says the $300 chip is the size of a grain of rice. You'd most likely have it implanted in your hand. And once it's activated, you can use it at a checkout by just swiping your hand over the card reader.
I would love this because I never know where my debit card is. Yeah. Usually in one of their wallets. So if I could put it right in my hand, I'd be happy about it.
Oh, man, I'm surprised with that. But hey, more sunrise ahead at 6:30.
Thousands already have microchip implants that they use in their daily lives. Waving their hand to gain entrance to the gym, confirm their ID, or make payments.
Well, you can now pay for your Panera sandwich with the palm of your hand. You heard that right, the restaurant chain partner.
You're hearing this at scale. The mainstream media, and it's tightly packaged, heavily branded, brilliant, ultra 4K HD packaging is presenting the idea of putting a chip under your skin.
But they make it sound so convenient. That's the thing. And this is how they're going to get it into us. Because, see, you got all these people out there, especially my listeners, Clay. Some of them are asking, well, we don't even know what woke means, let alone CBDC. And we're like, okay, come on. What part of this definition do you need? You're talking about Revelation chapter 13. And literally, you know, you're going to have something in your forehead or your hand. It already says that. The mark of the beast is 603 6. We already know what that is. It's computer jargon. And the thing is that, you know, pharmakia, technology will increase in the latter days. I mean, we know all about this. And the thing is now this all looks like it's coming into fruition. Like the average person is going, well, I don't understand. How can they make us take the chip? I think you got some ideas as to how they can make them do it, right?
Well, the idea is they want to collapse the dollar so that the dollar has no value, and then they introduce a new form of currency. And I don't think a lot of folks are maybe aware of this idea, but you're having major, major banks failing. And people say, well, I know the banks are failing. I've heard some things. But, I mean, do we really know how many people really know what's going on? Well, let me tell you what's really going on. Silicon Valley Bank failed. We know that. Silvergate Bank failed. Signature Bank failed. Credit Suisse Bank failed. First Republic Bank failed. And now it looks like as though we have over a half a dozen banks that are on the verge of collapsing right now as well.
In addition, do we have names?
What I would encourage people to do right now is if you go to Twitter today, there's one particular voice of sanity out there I wanted to point you into. His Twitter handle is Donald Trump Jr. Follows him too. It's called Wall Street Silver. And Wall Street Silver is now reporting on the different banks that are not doing well. That's Wall Street Silver is the handle on Twitter. And again, I don't want to go out there and say the name of a bank that's rumored to be failing.
Because then it'll encourage runs.
Yeah, but I would just say if you look at Wall Street Silver, he's reporting the information that is coming out about which banks are taking a hit right now. What's happening is people are pulling their money out of their banks because they're worried that their banks aren't doing well, which then causes the banks to not do well, a.k.a. a run on the bank, and we've all seen This Is a Wonderful Life. So let me hit play here, folks. Here we go.
Yeah, 2 days in a row, the stock is down 64% just in a two-day period.
She's talking about First Republic Bank.
It was a $121 stock at the start of this year. It closed today at less than $6 wow. per share. This has been absolutely brutal, of course, dealing with a crisis in confidence that really wasn't made better by the fact that it reported on Monday that deposits in the first quarter fell 41%. And of the $104 billion in deposits they have left, $20 billion of those are uninsured, and $30 billion is from the infusion that larger banks gave it in order to stabilize it. But clearly, stabilization doesn't seem to have yet been achieved. This is a bank that very much needs a rescue. The question now is whether that is going to come from the private sector if the government has to step in. We've had reporting over the last several days of the bank considering selling up to $100 billion in assets, reporting today about a share sale that would require those banks that already attempted to rescue it to buy bonds at a loss, basically. And then a great scoop from our colleague Gatanga Johnson here at Bloomberg that the FDIC is looking internally at possibly lowering this bank's rating, the CAMELS rating, which is essentially just
the. And you hear this every day. Blah, 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 blah. What does it mean? So let's just get into that. What does that mean? Let me hit play here. This is General Flynn explaining what that means.
I want people to go read Executive Order 14067. Executive Order 14067, signed by Uncle Joe, the 8th of March of 2022. And it went into effect 13 December 2022. There are already corporations and elements of our U.S. government that are already beta testing what's called central bank digital currency. Central bank digital currency. That's what that executive order is all about.
It's important that people understand they can be bailed in, but you don't want a huge run on the institution. But they have, I mean, they're going to be.
COVID makes it accelerates the process of digitalization and automatization. It legitimizes the deployment of mass surveillance, and it makes surveillance go under your skin.
The nature of this CBDC, what is it actually going to look like?
This is Richard Warner, the top CBDC expert on the planet.
Talk about that. Right. But I heard one European central banker tell me what it's going to look like. And it was around this large and would be implanted under your skin.
CBDC.
Tucker Carlson.
If that happens, we're done.
The old systems of trust and of ownership.
You've all know Harari.
We'll have to adapt radically.
China's taken over. And China, you know, I heard a couple of people say, well, the dollar will never lose the dollar standard. Are they kidding?
So the money is evolving.
Now, this guy right here is the head of a company called Quant. And Quant is the company that is rolling out the new central bank digital currency technology. They are we'll call it the foundation upon which the central bank digital currencies are based. It's called Quant.network. That's the website. Quant.network. Listen to what he says here.
So the money is evolving from a very binary thing, which is where it is today, to a very complicated, intelligent form of money, which we call smart money.
Hey, Peter Navarro here with the Taking Back Trump's America podcast.
Okay, Peter Navarro's talking about it as well. I mean, a lot is going on now, but you heard Trump talk about how the de-dollarization is a real thing. You heard Yuval Noah Harari talk about the nature of money is now changing. You heard General Flynn explain that Executive Order 14067 was introduced by Joe Biden, paving the way for central bank digital currencies. So quick summary. The dollar will collapse. The BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, they will introduce a new gold-backed programmable digital currency called the BRICS bucks or the BRICS dollars based in Shanghai, China. The name of the bank is called the New Development Bank. And then they will say the only way to have access to universal basic income because of the poor economy is to put the chip under your skin. That is what is coming.
That's pretty scary, which is why I've been telling all my listeners to get the book by Thomas H. Greco Jr. called Money, Understanding and Creating Alternatives to Legal Tender. Because the thing is when you're isolated out there, I mean, literally, they know if you've had the jab or not because they've been keeping medical records on everybody in America. And if they basically go and look in their records, then they go, wait a minute, you haven't been vaccinated and you don't want the chip. Well, guess what? You're going to starve. I mean, this is what the intent is. Not only do they want to kill our animals, but now they want to kill us as well. And one of the ways they're going to do that, I mean, we got all these 87,000 alleged IRS agents. I really don't believe half of that. I think a lot of it's scare tactic. But, you know, we have a government in D.C. that seriously needs an enema. And the thing is our Congress is not doing one bloody thing about any of this stuff. Have you become aware of anything like that?
Can you maybe rephrase that real quick as far as become aware of anything? What now?
As far as becoming aware of anything that Congress is doing to stop this nonsense from happening?
I haven't seen anything.
I haven't either. I'm just like, look, are they all in on it? I mean, right now, the analysis is, why did Fox get rid of Tucker Carlson? Because he was speaking too much truth. But he was still speaking about democracy every time he opened his mouth, and we have a constitutional republic. And he's saying democracy this, democracy that. I mean, he's just magpieing most of what mainstream media does. But then when he gets out of that gray area and starts talking about the jab and how people are getting vaccinated, how they're hiding the truth, and he's talking about CBDCs, and he's having the kind of people on that he's having on, including Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and then he has on Elon Musk, and Elon Musk starts talking about the same thing that you're just playing clips of. This is why I think they got rid of him, is because he was getting too close to letting the real narrative out of the bag.
I agree. I think that what happens is and you get into the world of mainstream media, if you just took like a pie chart and made a list of all of the funding that comes into mainstream media, if you ask yourself, you know, who funds mainstream media, you would discover that by and large, mainstream media is funded by Big Pharma. That's who funds mainstream media. And you look at, you know, the weird connection that Pfizer has, the relationship that Pfizer has with the World Economic Forum. Why is Pfizer so closely tied to the World Economic Forum? So when you look at, you know, organizations like Fox or News, Max or CNN or, you know, the different ABC, NBC, CBS, and you look at the personalities, you know, why would it be that their personalities, by and large, don't stand up and speak out against Big Pharma? Well, that's who writes their paychecks. That'd be analogous to calling out your boss at work, wouldn't it? I mean, this is who pays you.
Yeah, it sure is like that. But the bigger picture is this is a thing that we've told people on our show about the fact about being prepared. This is why people are buying food, guns, and ammo, because they think that day is coming. I'm trying to tell people, look, you got to put your faith in God, not government. And people are asking me, well, exactly what is the definition of woke? I said, the clear definition of woke, if you want to put it in general terms, is anybody that trusts our government instead of God. That's the definition of woke. If you can't get your heart in the right place and your mind in the right place, because everything works on that plane, and if you can't tap into the Father and walk in love in the Spirit, there is no hope for you. And I have a feeling that 220 plus million people that have taken the jab are going to find out the hard way when the truth comes out and all of a sudden their bank accounts get frozen and converted into digital currency, because you really believe this will happen overnight, right? They'll just flip the switch and it'll be all digital all of a sudden.
I don't know. I never want to speculate or guess. I'm a big fact guy. I can just tell you that right now, you have many, many countries, 19 specific countries, as reported by WION. They're saying now that 19 countries want to join BRICS as of right now. 19 additional countries in addition to Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. And we have what's called a petrodollar in effect, yeah, in the United States. And what gives the value to the petrodollar is the relationship we have with Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia is now joining BRICS. So I believe that the collapse of the dollar is imminent.
All right, they want to kill the dollar for sure, because if they do that and they can devalue it, then our legal tender really is not worth anything. If we have another Weimar Republic again, all over again, where it takes a whole wheelbarrow full of Deutschmarks just to be able to buy a loaf of bread. And the thing is, if your dollar's worth nothing, then what happened to full faith and credit of we the people? This is a real problem that we've got right now, because our constitutionalists out there are sitting there, you know, twiddling their thumbs trying to figure out what their next move is, rather than being proactive about it, which is what we're telling our listeners to do, is to get right with people. This is one of the reasons why people go to Reawaken America tour, is to get enlightened so they know what to do. People are going to have to start preparing for this, because I have a feeling, like a thief in the night, it's going to come at us, and quite suddenly. Your final take.
I would just say most people don't understand that the Federal Reserve is not federal and there is no reserve. I don't know that most people know that. I think maybe your listeners are some of the more educated folks out there. But again, the Federal Reserve is not federal and there is no reserve. And so once you understand that idea and we think that, wow, there's going to be a Federal Reserve that will come to save us, and you recognize, no, there isn't. And once you recognize the Federal Reserve claims to insure $9 trillion of bank deposits with only $125 billion of assets, you can see the problem. So I encourage everybody out there, go to timetofreeamerica.com, request a ticket for the Reawaken America Tour to Las Vegas in August, also to join us in Miami, Florida here in May. We've got just 7 tickets left there for the Reawaken America Tour of Miami. Get those tickets right now at timetofreeamerica.com.
And we will be streaming that event live, by the way. Don't worry. I mean, we're going to have that available. Your producers at the show, Clay Clark, have made all that work. We appreciate you being with us here. We are out of time for this segment, ladies and gentlemen. We want to remind you, we will be back again for another segment of the Power Hour. In the meantime, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America, if you can save it.
Organisms are everywhere, affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrax is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrax can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829.
Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier. And I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.